Welcome to the Sharp 600, brought to you by Covers.com. I'm Rob Cressy, and I'm super excited to be jamming with you. And joining me today to talk about college basketball tournament action is sports betting consultant Sean Lockhart. You can follow him on Twitter at TheRealPapaBear. Sean, great to have you back on the show.
Thanks for having me back on, Rob. It's definitely the best time of the year. I know a year ago, right around the same day, there was the Big East tournament, Creighton, St. John's tipped off. They only made it to halftime until it got canceled. Pac-12 tournament got canceled. Everything got canceled. Went into the dark ages, but now we're back. And I just can't wait for these games this weekend.
And you are reading my mind, because I actually wanted to start with that, because like you said, this is my favorite time of the year. For as long as I can remember, I have always taken off Thursday and Friday from work for March Madness. And I block it off in my calendar so no one can book a call or a meeting with me. And it was exactly 1 year ago, and I was actually watching that game that got canceled or postponed at halftime. And I vividly remember, because I created a TikTok about this, hitting delete on my calendar that said booked March Madness. And I went from my favorite time of the year to then having to work. And it's not, oh, Rob had to work, woe is me. It's the spirit of the game, where it was taken from me and from all of us. And it was the time when I just love waking up in the morning and you're rethinking your brackets and you're putting in your bets for the day. And it is the most blissful time for college basketball loving sports bettors. So where were you, and sort of what was your experience then? Because I was so ramped up, and then it became the start of what we didn't know what was on the horizon.
I remember it. You know, it's almost, you can't compare it to 9/11 or something like that, but it stuck with me in a way that I was on the Matt Peralta show that day, and the game got canceled. I had written up, I had a big bet going. I was going to bet Oregon State game. I specifically remember that game, and everything stopped. And, you know, that's my business, is betting on sports and then selling my sports plays. I was saying, having that, you know, what am I going to do? As a lot of people, obviously the restaurant industry, everybody got hit hard by COVID, the COVID news, and just uncertainty. But to have all of those games canceled, and as you just mentioned, on one of the most joyous weekends before the main tournament, which is, you know, that, as you said, getting off work Thursday, Friday, that's a holiday for some. And this happened, you know, it was the week before. It was, to this day, I think it was, we're recording this on a Wednesday. It happened on that Thursday. Would it be tomorrow? And yeah, I remember like it was yesterday. And that's what brings me so much joy right now, is that we're here jamming about college hoops, and these tournaments are happening. There's been a phenomenal season that's already taken place, and they're going to crown a champion this year. It's something we couldn't do last year, and you never take anything for granted. You just got to be happy with where you're at.
Yeah, so I'm very much living in college basketball bliss. So before we get to thoughts on teams and some Q&A that we threw out for Twitter, what I wanted to start with is college basketball tournament memories, not the March Madness, but the conference tournaments. And there's a few of them that stand out to me, and I would love for you to share as well. And, or yes, and if you remember these moments as well. And for me, I used to be a huge Pitt Panthers fan before everything fell post Jamie Dixon, when Pitt went from being a number one seed with DeJuan Blair and Sam Young in that world to not even relevant. And it's the Big East tournament, and I'm going to see this clip 8 million times because I've already seen this. And it is Kemba Walker doing the step back against Pitt in the Big East tournament. Game is tied, and somehow Kemba Walker gets switched on big-ass center Gary McGee. He gives a little shake and bake, boom, step back, nails it. UConn wins 5 games in 5 days to win the Big East tournament.
And the Big East tournament, especially when it was at MSG, I think was one of the, you know, the all-time. You even think back, I saw some clips earlier, the Ray Allen UConn teams versus the Allen Iverson Georgetown team. I get that Syracuse, when Syracuse ran the table, and there were that 5 overtime game. I mean, there's so many memories there. I have, you know, my school is Arizona State, so we haven't had too much success. When James Harden was here, we got to the second round of the tournament, lost to Syracuse, but I had some good memories. I'd go to the Pac-12 tournament. It's hosted, it was at the time, it was at the MGM. They had their own stadium. And it's just fun. It was before, you know, all these states legalized. So you could place your bet on the game and then walk in and watch, you know, Arizona State play and Stanford play. And Arizona State never ended up winning a Pac-12 tournament while I went. But I just have so many good memories of going to Vegas, being there the week before the dance, but just as fun because you'd see these live games. Sometimes we'd go over to the Orleans casino because they'd have the WCC tournament going even later. Man, those are just so many good memories of college hoops.
Speaking of Arizona State, I was in love with Ike Diagu. I thought that guy was going to be phenomenal.
He was a beast. I mean, he was such a presence down low. Guy could get you 40 and 20. I think he had one game where he had 40 points, 20 rebounds. They made the tournament one time, I think, with him, but they got bounced pretty early. But yeah, he was a talent. He was a generational talent for Arizona State for sure.
So you mentioned Syracuse UConn. I actually believe it was a 6 overtime game, and it was actually one of the games I wanted to jam about because that was 2009 on that team for Syracuse, Johnny Flynn, Eric Devendorf, and then on UConn, Hashim Thabeet, Kemba, Jeff Adrian, and AJ Price. And if we're talking Syracuse, I've actually got two more memories. You've got 2006, Syracuse is a 9 seed, Jerry McNamara hitting that 3-pointer against UC as Syracuse goes and makes a run. And then as I think about the first interview I ever did in my sports creating life, I had created a website called astimeexpires.com. And this is like early, early internet. And my friend and I were in love with the Vermont team. And we wrote them and got an interview with Taylor Coppenrath. And if you remember that Vermont team, that is the one that ended up upsetting Syracuse, who was a 4 seed. And TJ Sorrentine has, as Gus Johnson says, from the parking lot. And Gus has a Gusgasm. And this is actually March Madness, but it still sort of blends into what we're talking about, where Vermont ends up beating Syracuse in March Madness. And that was sort of the precursor to me getting to where I am right now.
That's a wild story. It's crazy. Vermont was connected to Syracuse. They played that round. It's the best because the small school stories are they're great stories too. I mean, these guys have, you know, they get to play on the big stage. And I mean, everyone remembers that Butler team that, I mean, almost that full court shot that almost dropped to win a national championship. But in no other sport do you really see it. You don't see it in football. There's not going to be, a Winthrop playing Alabama in a Final Four game. I mean, there was maybe Boise State upsetting in the Fiesta Bowl, but nothing really compares to March Madness. Just the energy, it's the best. It's the best time of the year.
Hold up.
The madness is almost here. Selection Sunday is coming this weekend, so make sure to check out Cover's new March Madness Betting Hub, your one-stop shop to get everything you need to make the smartest tournament bets, including the latest odds, analysis, props, free contests, and more. All tournament long. Visit the college basketball section on covers.com to take advantage of the Covers March Madness Betting Hub. Woo! Yes, and we will actually be getting to Alabama in a second because I've got some questions about that. And on Twitter, we threw out, hey, does anybody have any questions or things that they would like us to jam about? So About That Action wrote in and said, which teams to bet in the tournament? So what we will do while we can't exactly give out winners for something that hasn't been created yet, what we will do is play sort of some buy, sell, or bet on or bet against. And Sports is Life wrote in and said, what is the difference between handicapping conference tournaments and the NCAA tournament? And I'll throw that out to you. And what are your thoughts on that?
That's a really good question, actually. And there are some major differences. If I think about it, I actually place more big bets in the conference tournaments than I do the NCAA tournament, especially the first round, just because I think the lines are a little tighter in the NCAA tournament. In the conference tournament, you have teams that they're not very good, right? This is going to be the last time you're going to get a bet against them, the really bad teams when their season ends. And in the tournament, in the major tournament, everyone's good. Right? Everyone either qualified by winning their tournament or they got a bid, they're above 500. So it is like the last chance you get to bet against these really bad teams. But another I would say too is in the conference tournaments, I bet more unders because some of these matchups, this is the third time that these teams are playing each other. And just as, you know, in my basketball career, when I was playing basketball and you guard the same guy, right? You prep for to play that team three times or two times during the regular season, you play him in the conference tournament, you've already guarded this guy for the whole game, right? You know his strengths and weaknesses, where he's going to go to get a shot off, where he likes to throw his strong hand. So I think the defense gets a little more edge when you play for a third time. And that's what you see in conference tournaments. You don't, sometimes, you know, some conference matchups, you might see a third matchup in the NCAA tournament. But I think that'd be a major difference is teams have already played each other once, twice, three times. It's a big difference in seeing a team once or a team from a different conference.
Yeah, and I think the one word that I would say is familiarity. That conference tournaments, you're a lot more familiar. And then when you get to the NCAA tournament, there's more variables because it can become matchup based, where in the conference tournaments, you're not seeing it stylistically as much because there is an opportunity where there's an 8-9 game in the tournament and one is an up and down and then one's a slow team or one's a 3-point shooting team and one team's got a big man and it's a clashing styles. And you don't see that as much within conferences where there's a huge disparity in terms of how these teams play.
Yeah, I completely agree. And it's, there's so many, I wish we could have a bracket in front of us and we could talk about some teams I like, but that's what, so there are buy on as the season progresses, generally how I approach it. There's teams that I call buy on teams. I want to get behind, put my money behind. I think they're a complete team, whether it's coaching, they're really good at shooting free throws, which is also big in the tournament style, but just teams I want to back. And so some of those teams just off the top of my head, I really like Houston this year. It depends on who they're going to get matched up with, obviously, in the first round of the tournament. Hopefully, it's going to be a team I like to sell on, a team that I don't like. But I like Houston this year. I think they're one of the more complete Houston teams that I've seen play. The Pac-12, I've been betting a ton on this year. And everyone loves Oregon. Everyone, I think they're popular. They have a great coach. And I'm not as high on them. I like a Colorado team a little bit more, I think, in the Pac-12. I think Colorado is probably the best team. And then, like, a smaller school I'm looking to buy on in the tournament. Probably Winthrop. That's a name a lot of guys will recognize. They've been in the tournament many times. They're a really good team this year. And I'm hoping they get up against one of the teams I like to sell on. And I think Winthrop would definitely be a team I'm looking to back come the NCAA tournament next week.
So what we'll do now is let's do some storylines from some of the conference tournament action that is going on. And remember, we're recording this at 2 p.m. Eastern on Wednesday. So things will change as we move forward later on in the week. But nonetheless, there are some narratives that we can at least identify or teams. And speaking of selling on a team, let's start in the ACC because Duke is in a very unfamiliar position where they need to run the tournament and win it in order to make the tournament. But here's the thing. When you came on the show earlier this year, you said Duke was a team that you were selling on because the Blue Bloods were still overvalued in the market. So I'm curious your thoughts right now on Duke and what it is. Should someone be betting for or against them right now?
I think Duke's a team you want to buy on right now, similar to Michigan State. The market, I think, has gone the other way. So it is time to buy. Duke plays today. I have a little bet on them first half coming up here. But it's the coaching. I mean, they also lost that NBA. The guy wants to play in the NBA. They got better. And sometimes basketball teams do. It's kind of not a poisonous personality, but just the way they play as a team. And I think you're seeing that right now with Duke. They're giving it their all. They got to win the tournament, and I definitely like them early. They already won last night. They beat a very bad Boston College team yesterday. But I like them again. They're playing Louisville today. I got them on actually the first half. So one more little edge maybe in future for our listeners that I've been cashing on in tournaments is the teams that play the day before, right? Like the teams that are pretty bad, they're the lower seeds. They got to play. Then the next day they move on. So they're playing Louisville today. Louisville hasn't played that neutral site court yet. Duke already has a game under their belt in that kind of the sight line shooting in that gym. I bet on the first half of that team that played yesterday, that's playing today against a team that hasn't played yet in that gym. I like that angle. I have Duke first half. I love that. I would take Duke full game, but I love that first half angle a little bit even more. That's a real bet I got going here. Tips off, I think, in a couple hours.
One thing of note about this ACC tournament, which could speak to a possibility for Duke. So this year's ACC tournament does not have a team ranked in the top 10 for the first time since 1996. So what does that really mean? Well, there's not the juggernaut that we traditionally see with Virginia, North Carolina, Duke, where there's three teams in the top five. This is a little bit more open, which means a team with pedigree, maybe they could slide in there.
I like it. It's wide open. And that's what I would say too. I like Georgia Tech a little bit in that conference. And I know we're taping this early. You can't get any pre-conference bets on it. But what you can do, if you do like a team and you listen later, you can parlay. You can do an open parlay, just money line them on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday to make three games in a row, or just bet on them straight up 3 days in a row. And you almost get very similar to odds to what odds makers were putting out, betting them pre-tournament, like 10 to 1, if you just parlay them to win three straight games.
Let's move over to the Big Ten tournament. And you mentioned Michigan State. So Michigan State is interesting because they've got wins over Michigan, Illinois, and Ohio State. Those are some huge wins right there. And the win against Michigan, they were almost a double-digit dog because I was looking at that game. I didn't get any action, but I was actually thinking about Michigan. But what just didn't make sense to me was I was like, man, that is a really big line for a game that is not a bounce back, but they just played each other. And so often we fall in love with the narrative of, oh, Michigan ran Michigan State out the gym. Of course, they're just going to do that again in the next game. Not always the case, as Michigan State saw right there. So it looks like Michigan State is one of the last teams to get in. But what's on my mind about Michigan State is they have a pedigree of, if they were to get a 9 seed or 12 seed, immediately you're just going to be like, well, it's Michigan State. They've beat these great teams already. Why can't they go on another run? Because this is a Michigan State MO.
It's Izzo. He's a great coach. He gets the most out of his talent. And I think that team just defense, you look at their defensive metrics over the second half of the season, they've come together, and that's what you can do. Michigan State will be an interesting team in the tournament because it is just they're low on talent this year. But, man, that Big Ten schedule is just brutal. I know everyone generally the Big Ten's a little overrated, but I think this year they just got team after team. I really like that Illinois team. I know their star player broke his nose. He's playing with a mask, so that kind of scares me. I want to see how he plays a little bit. But, man, I think Illinois can make a deep run. I know they're probably going to grab a 1 seed, but I like that team a lot. It definitely has a chance to win it all. They're complete.
I think one of the challenges we are all going to face as we fill out brackets come March when they come out is there are a lot of good options from the Big Ten in terms of, you could say, I can see Michigan going to the Final Four. I can see Illinois going to the Final Four right there. Who do you believe is the best team in that conference? Because I didn't really like any of the futures bets to win this tournament because it was all plus 120, plus 200, plus 300. Not a lot of value for a team, bunch of teams that are all jumbled up together.
Michigan's phenomenal. I know they're a very popular pick, but I think Illinois would be a better draw, and you get better odds. And like you said, I mean, because I still too like Gonzaga. I think Gonzaga is the team to beat still. I know a lot of guys haven't really seen them play, and they've busted out early in a lot of tournaments, but look out for them. I think they're their favorite for a reason. Long shot odds, though, I've been looking through the boards. I think if there was a team, Alabama, and it's just because they shoot so many threes that on any given night, if they get hot and shoot 50, 60% from three, they could beat any team in the country, any team. And that they have some long shot odds going into it. I know they won the SEC, but defensively they're okay. But it's just, they're one of those very volatile teams that if they're shooting threes, no one's going to beat them. And that'd be a team I might look at for some long distance, I think like, I haven't looked recently, but 20 to 1 at least, maybe.
So you are reading my mind because I was going to ask you on how good this Alabama team is, because Herbert Jones won SEC Player of the Year. Nate Oates won Coach of the Year for Alabama. And we're not accustomed to seeing an Alabama team that is this good. And as I look at the narrative of this college basketball season, and we even talked about it when you're on the show previously, the Blue Bloods are traditionally not in there, and there's teams that we're not used to seeing in there, Alabama being one of them.
They're incredible this year. Like you said, I think it's all because of the coach, too, in a way. He's just got them playing extremely well, but they're very volatile. So if they go out and shoot 10% from three, they can easily get bounced in the first round as well. But I do think if I was looking at all the longer shots on the board, I think Alabama would be my top pick for sure, just because they can stroke the ball. It's unbelievable.
So you mentioned Gonzaga, and I had a friend of mine text me on February 26th, and there was a bet he saw: Gonzaga and Baylor plus 110 to win it all, or the field minus 134. And when you were on the show previously, you said these two teams are head and shoulders better than every other team in the nation. And I did not forget that. I saw that bet right there and I'm like, huh, interesting. So I'm curious on your end, if you were to take that, and I get that this was, let's call it 2 weeks ago, but if you were to get Gonzaga and Baylor plus 110 or the field minus 134 to win it all, which side would you take?
I think I would grab the underdog. I'm pretty high on Gonzaga. I think they are going to run the tournament. There's a lot of matchups that, you know, teams, they could go cold one day, but that Gonzaga team is just impressive. I think you saw in the championship, their WCC, BYU gave them everything they had. They're down by 11, I think, at halftime, came all the way back, almost covered the full game spread. And they're just physical. They're more physical than any Gonzaga team I've seen play. And that's why they're going to get beat up once they play against some better athletes. And the WCC it's a little down this year, but I would take Gonzaga. Baylor, I think, has gone the opposite direction slightly. I think Michigan and Illinois and some of those teams have made up some ground on them, but I think Gonzaga is going to win. I really do.
All right, so next thing, let's get to the Big 12. And one team that's on my mind is Oklahoma State because of Cade Cunningham, his status in terms of health. And to me, they seem like a very shiny object syndrome team, because you can fall in love with the narrative of why you would like Oklahoma State, because they recently just beat West Virginia without Cunningham. So you're like, well, wait a second, this team could be good. What are your thoughts on them? Because I see that they could be a team that come March Madness that could bust brackets one way or another.
I like what I've seen from Oklahoma State's progression. Obviously, Cade Cunningham, he is the number one pick. He is the best player in the country. I've seen him play numerous times. What I really liked about them was when they beat, the second time they beat Oklahoma, Oklahoma really keyed in on him. I think he only had two or four points in the first half, but he was dishing out. His teammates were making shots. And that's what you got to do in the tournament, because in the tournament, a team will come and take away your best player. They will. You have to have other guys make shots. And I think Oklahoma State has progressed to that point where they can get, they don't need to rely just on Cade like they were in the beginning of the season. They're a team I'm buying on for sure. I think they've improved. I do think the Big 12 is a little overrated. I know there's all these, you have the Kansases, they're dealing with injuries now though. The Oklahomas, as I mentioned, Baylor, I think has kind of fallen. But I am an Oklahoma State fan. It wouldn't shock me if you see me betting on them in the first round for sure.
All right, let's talk about Kansas, because I'm curious about their ceiling, because we may see them at let's call it a 3 seed come March Madness. They're a really good defensive team. They're a blue blood with a high pedigree, but I'm just not sure if I'm ready to buy all in on them being a team that could win a national title.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I think it is almost a sell-on team for me. Just in the tournament, it's a name brand team. And there's going to be a lot of bettors that see Kansas and want to bet on Kansas. And they are going to bet on Kansas. So you always have to pay about a 1 or 2 point tax almost on some of these teams, especially in the first round. It wouldn't surprise me if you see me opposite Kansas here in the first round or two.
I like that. So wrapping this up, let's get to the SEC. Speaking of blue bloods, Kentucky, they need to run the tournament to get in. Do they have any shot at making that happen?
I don't think so. I mean, I've backed this Kentucky team a couple times this year, probably to about a 30% win percentage, because the talent, I love the talent, and I did think they were finally, the market had caught up to them. They just, when it comes down to crunch time, they crumble. And I don't like that, especially in the tournament. Games are going to be close. They play today. We'll see what happens. I might back them early in the SEC tournament maybe, but if for some reason they do, they can't score when it really matters. And so they're a sell-on team. And I think you have to pay a Kentucky tax as well, because you see the name brand Kentucky, the average bettor wants to bet on them. So I think you get a point of value probably fading them. That's probably where you'll find me.
All right. So as we wrap this up, are there any other teams that you want to jam about, or any other mindset or strategy or betting related things that you can help us with as we're going to be watching nonstop college basketball from now until the brackets come out. What are you going to be looking for? What can we start doing to, one, capitalize off of what we're seeing, and then two, better prepare for March Madness, because this is really the time when the overwhelming majority of people are going to be finally paying attention to college basketball.
For sure. One team I didn't mention, I mentioned the Big 12, I think is a little overrated, but Texas, I mean, they're almost the number one team in the country for a time earlier in the season. I don't really like what I've seen with that team chemistry. I've seen a lot of arguments, especially in the backcourt. Like, I don't know if those guys enjoy playing with each other. So that's another team I might be looking to sell on. And then as far as like betting strategies going into March, late March, these lines are going to be super tight heading into the tournament. And maybe early in the year, you know, steam moves, right? The line moves 2 points in someone's favor. Guys like to get behind that. You know, the sharps are on this. Oh, the sharps move that. In March and late March, I would almost fade those steam moves to some degree, because I think you're getting a better line when you say a team opens -1, they get moved up to -3. I would probably look at taking that +3. I think it'd be, the lines do sharpen out, but fading the steam plays. I know a lot of guys chase steam, and you can make money doing that early in the season. Late March, I think that turns around. I would fade steam for sure.
I really like that, because it's a natural thing to be like, oh, they're on the right side, because so often the late move can be seen as the right move. But anyone who bets college basketball knows how many of the games overwhelmingly come so tight in terms of the lines. Just like when you bet the NFL, you're like, how in the world do they know over-under is 49? And we're sitting there on the final drive and it's looking there at 47, and they need this field goal to go in or out one way or another. I'm curious on the live betting side of things, because I saw on Twitter overwhelmingly people jumping on Gonzaga when they were down, and there's so many opportunities to do that. I've been a big proponent of live betting, but what's your live betting mindset around what we're seeing right now come conference tournament or March Madness play?
I think you're right. If you know the line pre-flop and a team gets up big, same thing we do in football. I think there is an advantage to go the other way. There's a lot. Also, you can look at shooting, three-point shooting specifically. I love when a team is just shooting 80% the first half from three, jumping on the other team, just because a regression's coming. So you can always find those spots that do offer some value. I actually did it this morning with Northern Colorado, hit a second half play. In college basketball, the opportunity is there. Live betting, It's great spots. I also just use the eye test, which I've done throughout the season. Obviously, like, basketball is a sport I played my entire life. I just, the way a team is playing, if they're playing great on it, if they're getting good looks, if the offense looks clean, I might look to live bet them or second half bet them. But there's so many ways to approach this. It's the best month of the year. There's so much action you can get. But as I said, always bet responsibly, but look for those spots, little value you can find. If you're watching a game and you can always find something. That's what I would recommend doing.
All right, let me give you a flip side to your not chasing the steam strategy, which I like. That's a great perspective. But what if in the process you said, well, I didn't get the right number in terms of being on the right side of the steam per se, but now looking on the live betting side and being like, well, what if the opportunity to get back into that number where the steam was in live, because if we're, like you said, if the number goes from 1 to 3 or something like that, we're talking about a small margin, and there's nothing to say that the other side of it doesn't go up 6 to 2. And now here comes that value presenting itself. And of course, this is a very square, open-ended thing to say of, we're not watching the game, we're not looking at percentages, we're not doing anything like that, but welcome to sports betting, because we all have to rationalize how we're going to do something. So if you're someone who says, I want to chase steam, but I didn't get the right number, well, live betting might be that opportunity. If all of a sudden, like the Chiefs getting down 7-0 in the first quarter, where you're like, boom, I now get the better number on the Chiefs, this could potentially be that opportunity.
No, I completely agree. And there is a big, with college hoops, there's a big difference between a 1-point favorite and a 3-point favorite. I mean, that's pretty much a whole possession in a way. But as you said, yeah, if the line moves from 1 to 3, don't bet the -3. But then, yeah, if they have a bad first half and you could bet the second half, get them at a pick or get it closer to what it was, -1, then by all means, yeah, fire away. Exactly as you said.
Awesome. Sean, cannot wait to consume so much college basketball for the next month. let that sink in. That is just going to be absolutely joyful. I'm going to enjoy jamming with you on Twitter because I enjoy following your picks and seeing how you get down. And you've certainly helped me enjoy college basketball more because you've helped me be a more informed better. And I'm always seeing your stuff on Twitter because I'm always engaging and at least consuming what you're doing. Where can everybody connect with you?
Yep, on Twitter at DaRealPapaBear, P-A-P-A Bear. I put out, especially in March, I'm going to be putting out a lot of bets that everyone can access. It's been a great season. It's been one of my best college basketball betting seasons so far, and hoping to keep it going through March. Lines get a little tight, but I like where I'm at, and I like how I'm seeing things. So hopefully you can take I'll definitely be putting the information out there, and hopefully it makes you some money.
And we are going to be putting out a ton of college basketball content it covers, but also on social media. When you're placing bets, let us all know about it, because one of the things I love about sports betting is the community. I've got action today. I'm going to have action every day for the next month. So when you get down, let us know how you're getting down. You can hit me up on Twitter at Rob Crassi. Make sure to use hashtag Sharp600 and be part of our community. Also tag at Covers. And if you enjoyed this college basketball podcast or anything we've done previously, throw us a bone. Jump on iTunes, give us a rating and review, because when you do, we will give you a shout out on the show. And remember, if you want to be a sharp, don't be a square with your bankroll. Be disciplined with your money management. The funkadelic devil hit you with the rap level of 10. The 1, 2, 3, your pen. I get action. So everybody jump with your rump. If you like the way the sound pump, pump it in your black trunk. And let loose with the juice when I do rock. I'm too hot. Some say I got more juice than Tupac.